Say hello to somebody as you sit down. Very briefly, and welcome everybody to The Rock. How many visitors do we have? Just raise your hand and just say welcome you. God bless you. Thanks for coming out tonight. Real quick, we just have a quick announcement. I'm going to repeat this. You probably heard this two or three times already over the last month. We are going through the Bible next year. We're going to be going through the Daily Walk. It's going to be the Year of the Word. You have this blue flyer in your bulletin. And if you want to get the Daily Word, Daily Walk, we're going to send this to you every month. If you subscribe and pay $18, the table's right outside as you go out and miss. Go to the middle, right outside. And the Daily Walk is going to be sent to you, and it's a booklet. It'll guide your reading through the Bible. How many people here never read through the Bible? Okay, so we have a lot of candidates for this. And we're going to read through the Bible, and every Daily Walk will have an overview of the book you're reading through. And then every day you'll have a little devotion that you'll read. It'll help you explain to you what you read and what you might want to get out of it. What we are going to do as a church, in addition to this, which doesn't cost anything, is we are going to start a Rock University called Rock U on the internet, and Rock U is going to guide you through the Bible and parallel the lessons in the reading and supplement the reading of the Daily Walk with more information. In other words, when we go in January, we'll be reading through Genesis and Exodus, and Rock University will have on the internet the title of the book, and then what the book is about. We're going to give summaries to all the books in the Bible. We will learn all the books in the Bible. We will learn what all the books in the Bible are about. We're going to have memory verse every week. We're going to have Bible trivia every week and Bible difficulties every week. So you'll learn 52 of a bunch of stuff. You'll learn 400 or 500 different facts by the end of the year. Actually, probably 1,000 because in the book of beginnings, there'll be, and we'll have this better display next week. On the internet, you can click on the book of beginnings and then get 10 things that began in Genesis. So to help you understand more what's in Genesis. So that's going to be, you're just going to have a bunch of information. Very simple things like creation, sin, death, marriage, etc., etc., etc. Very simple things, easy to learn, and you'll learn what the book's about. We're also going to have Bible difficulties, and I think you've seen this twice by now, but one of the Bible difficulties is where did Cain get his wife? Adam and Eve were the first man and woman to live. They had a son named Abel and a son named Cain. Cain killed Abel, and then he went and married his wife. Well, where'd she come from? It was his sister. And you went, well, that's kind of strange. Well, if you hit on that little yellow button, it says FMI for more information. We will give you an explanation of how that happened. And so all year, you're going to have all these Bible difficulties and these Bible trivia with information, and we'll just click and click and click. And so we're going to do that. We're also going to learn all the books of the Bible. How many books are in the Bible? Does anybody know? Everybody say 66. Say 66. The first book in the Bible is? The second book is? The third book is? The fourth book is? And the fifth book is? Okay, let's see those books real quick. Boom, 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 boom. And if you didn't say it just now, let's say it all together one more time out loud. First book is? Second. Third. Fourth. Fifth. Very good. Genesis is the book of what? Exodus is? Everybody say exit. See the EX in Exodus? Exit. Say exit. From Egypt. You saw the Prince of Egypt. That's what this whole book was about. Exodus. The book of Exodus. The exit from Egypt. They were in slavery. The Jews were in slavery. Moses was born into slavery. And he was raised in Pharaoh's home as an orphan. And he grew up to be a great leader. And he actually committed murder. And was a fugitive. Came back and delivered the people from Egypt. That's what Exodus is about. Leviticus L is for the... Everybody say law. Say law. Law. Moses went up to Mount Sinai, got the law from God. That's Leviticus. Numbers, everybody say book of wanderings. Say wanderings. Watch this. 40 years they walked around. That's Numbers. 40 years, okay? You like that? You could do that too if you go home and just do this. This is Numbers, okay? And they also numbered the people in Numbers. Deuteronomy is the second time they gave the law because all the people that heard the law the first time died. You know why they died? Because God walked them for 40 years. You know what God said? This is a trip. God said, because you didn't believe me, I'm going to make you walk until you die. I'm going to raise up a whole nother generation. And he did. God don't play. So he had to teach him again. Deuteronomy. And that's right before they went into the promised land. Now, if you know all that, those five books, guess what? You're already through, I think, January and February. No, you're through January and memorizing the books. Because it's 66 books. We'll do 5.5 a month, give or take. So it's very simple. So get the Year of the Word. Just subscribe to this little blue flyer. Tear the bottom. Give $18. It's $1.50 a month, but we would like all the $18 at one time. Appreciate it. People come with quarters. This is my January. Okay. Turn to Genesis. Let me see. Let's see. Let's see the word tonight. Word. And then we got a pen, and we got a bulletin. Take out your pen, get out your notes, and turn to Acts chapter 17. Acts 17. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and everybody say Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Very good. Very good. Lord, we thank you for your word, and I pray that this church will become a church of the word, and next year we would all read through the Bible together. Lord, challenge us in that. May we be faithful. Because I know if they read through the Bible, they're going to grow. They're going to change. They're going to be shaped into your image. We pray that that would happen. In Jesus' name, amen. My son turned 12, my youngest child, on November 28th. And we asked him what he wanted for his birthday. Not that we were going to give it to him, but we just wanted to see what he wanted. And if we could give it to him, we would. You know, if he said he wanted a car, we would say no. If he wanted, if he wanted to go paintball. What do you call it? Paintballing. How many people have been paintballing? Okay, you know, every service in the morning service is older people, like 5 people. And then as the services get throughout the day and all the younger people, higher percentage of people go. See, y'all know what paintball is. You go out there, you get a gun, and you shoot people with little paintballs. If you don't know what it is, it's a lot of fun. You get a CO2 rifle, and they have little paintballs that are like the size of a marble. And you shoot people, and they explode on you and leaves paint. So we went out there. He got his friends, and he had five of his friends, or 6 12-year-old kids, and 4 of us adults. And you go there, and you fight against whoever they put you up against. And our first game was against these 10 grown men who were experienced. So I got these little kids and the 4 of us, we never did it before. They never did it before. And they send you out into the woods. The other guys went to the other side of the woods and the ref goes up on the hill and he says, okay, fight. And we have a 15-minute game. And so as soon as he blew the whistle, you could see and hear the other guys running through the woods to their spots. And we're standing all by like this. We didn't know what to do. So, you know, first thing we do is we run and jump on the ground, G.I. Joe. And they give everybody fatigue. So you got fatigues on, you got your mask on, you got your gun, you got your bullets. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, yeah, pop, pop, pop. Now they gave us these little pop guns. Pop, pop, pop. But you can upgrade and get like, you know, AK-47 type things. And some guys come there with their own guns. They, you know, they spend $500-$600 on their own gun. But, you know, we just had the government issue. Pop, pop, pop.
So we're like, okay, what are we going to do? And so, Dad, I'm going over here. He's running over there. And the little guys are good because they're little targets. So they're harder to hit, and they can hide behind anything. You know, I can't hide. I got to get something that I can hide behind. And so, make a long story short, we're trying to figure out, when we were there for like 4 hours, and but I played, I think, three games, got hit every time. I was like one of the first people to get hit. And the reason was, is because in paintball, from at least the kind of games we were playing, the best thing to do is get a spot and hide and don't move and just shoot people from that one spot. But the minute you start running out trying to be Rambo, you know, going over here and, you know, bayonet people and, you know, you get killed. You know, and for me, I'm just impatient because I don't want to sit here and just, I want to go get somebody. And the dudes are like 200 feet away. I mean, they're far away, and you're shooting through the trees and bushes. I'm like, nah, I want to get closer. And every time I would move from behind my protection, I mean, everybody on the other team said, oh, there's a sucker right there. And I would get lit up. Paint's flying all over the place, hitting the ground, the bushes, the trees. And I'm like, I'm out. I just got to walk away. You know, as soon as you walk away from the protection of this book, you're going to get hit. As soon as you stop reading it, memorizing it, using it in your logic and your decision making, you are dead meat. Don't ever try to figure this stuff out by yourself. Don't try to figure it. The devil came after Eve. What did she say? What did he say to her? What did God say? He brought into question in her mind this book. What did God say? And then he said, God lied to you. You're not going to die if you sin. You'll be just like God. He lied to her. This is the only protection she had. I mean, prayer protects us, Christian, but this was the guide, the instruction, the foundation upon which we should stand. This right here. I have this little dog I think I told you about a few times. Little Dotson. It's about a 3-pound hot dog. And it's a girl. I always call it a he, but her name is Lucy. And when you come home, she's always excited. I mean, she just jumps on him. It's like you're the greatest thing in the world, you know, until someone else comes over and then she's jumping on them. And I'm not really, like, I don't play with the dog, like, you know, pick her up and hug her. Ooh. I just kind of, you know, just kind of kick her a little bit, you know, just like, go ahead, you know, I'll just play with her foot. And then the other thing I do is I run, and she chases me. And so we have a wood floor in the hallway. I run down the hall, and she's running, running, and then I stop, and she slides. And then I run down this hall. It's real funny to see. But at one end of the hall is a mat for the people who, you know, the place, the welcome mat inside the house. If you're welcome, you could step on it. If you're not, you got to go around it. We run down the hall, and I slide, and she runs, and no matter where I slide, she runs to the mat because she doesn't slide. And she goes, bam, and comes back this way. And then she slides. There's nothing on this end of the hallway. She has learned that the mat gives me sure footing. You need to learn. This is the only sure footing you got right here. There is no other place you can get it. So when we read through the Bible, let me tell you something. It's not about just learning the Bible. You are going to feed your soul with the best food you got. And God has given us. In the story, Paul is on his second missionary journey. He's going around preaching the gospel, encouraging churches. And he goes to Thessalonica. And they attack him. They reject him, and then he ends up going to a place called Berea. Everyone said Berea. Say Berea. And in Berea, the people there receive the word. And there's four things they do we're going to look at today. There's four things they do. One, they listened. Everybody say they listened. Say they received. They researched. And they responded. Okay, everybody, one more time. I want you to sit up straight. Get some oxygen in your lungs. Let's get ready to pay attention. Ready? Say, they listened. Say, they researched. I'm sorry. They listened. They received. Thanks for paying attention. They researched it. And they responded. Okay, let's look at it. Verse 10. Watch this. Verse 10. It says, then the brethren, chapter 17, verse 10, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. They were more fair-minded in that they listened, in that they received the word with readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed. First thing, verse 11. The Bereans were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. What does it mean to be fair-minded? Well, one thing means that their minds were fair. They were fair-minded. Their minds were fair. Their minds weren't unfair. Their minds weren't bigoted against the word of God. They said, we will listen. State your case. And we will take into consideration all the facts. They didn't come with an attitude saying, we don't want to hear it, or don't tell me not to have sex. Don't tell me not to get drunk. Don't tell me I can't do this. They said, we will listen to whatever you have to say and consider it that maybe it's true. Maybe we're really sinners. Maybe Jesus Christ really is the Lord. Maybe he really died. Maybe I have to change. That was being more fair-minded. When I was a little kid, I don't remember how old, 10, 9, I was small. I remember seeing Billy Graham on TV, and I can remember it was like it was yesterday, saying, who does he think he is? To talk about what God said. Well, all he was doing was saying what God said. Well, he wasn't giving his opinion. And so what the people in Berea said, listen, we want to hear what you have to say. Let me tell you something. When you come to church, you need to be fair-minded. God, talk to me. What do you want me to learn? You've seen all these court cases on TV about the election, and every judge has a responsibility to hear both sides of the story without being subjective. They have to be objective. They have to say, you give me your facts, you give me your facts, and I'll lay it against what they think is the truth, the Constitution and the law, and they make a decision. Well, these people were more fair-minded. They sat there and they said, okay, we will consider the gospel as true and see if it's true. The next thing it says, look what it says. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness. Everybody say, receive the word. Say, readiness. Say, receive the word. Say, readiness. There's a parable in the Bible Jesus tells, and actually it's in a couple of books, parable of the sower. A sower is someone who sows, not sows like with thread, but sows with seed, planter. And it says, some of the seed fell on stony ground, and the sun scorched it. Some fell on hard ground, and the birds came and snatched it. The seed is the word of God. Some fell on ground, and it sprouted, but the weeds choked it out. And then some seed fell on good ground and sprouted and produced 30, 60, 100-fold crop. Now, the seed that fell on the good ground is the word of God that goes into a receptive heart. Some of y'all, you hear the word of God, I don't want to hear that. You know, some of y'all went to Thanksgiving dinner over your family's house, and there were some relatives over there you didn't like. I don't know if y'all have that in your families, but you know, y'all don't want to go over Granny's house. Is Uncle Louie going to be there? Don't go. Don't go. But you go. You, sometimes people come to church and they got an attitude. I don't want to listen. Don't go. Stay home. Watch TV. Don't bother. Don't waste God's time. Don't waste your time. If you don't want to hear it, you need to come and say, I want it. I want it. The problem is sometimes we don't realize that we need it until we are hurting. God says, with some of us, we are so hard-headed that God has to literally put us in the hospital before we cry out for help because we're so hard-headed. But you need to realize that you need the word all the time. You need to be thirsting for the word, hungering for the word all the time, because by faith you know it's going to produce a crop and a change in your life 30, 60, 100-fold. You've heard us saying, you could take a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. I can make a horse drink water at the snap of my finger, and I am not a horse trainer. You just give me a horse, I'll make him drink, just like that. How? I'll take him to El Cajon in July and run him around all day. Put salt in his mouth, run him around, and then I will take him to water, and he will drink before I even get to snap the finger. I say, you want some water? Yes, Wilbur. Go ahead, drink right there. What happens is God puts us in situations where we want information, we want peace, we want encouragement, we want friendship, and we realize that he's the only real place we can get it. And he says, are you ready now? Yes, but you know what? You need to be ready all the time. You need to be praying, God, I am ready. I want to hear what you have to say. Because God has something to tell you good all the time. The Bible says in James chapter 1, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word that can save your soul. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12 that the word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, to divide the joints, bone and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. God's word is living and active. Remember last week? Woo, and it can discern the thoughts and intents of your heart and mind. It could speak to you. It could interact with you. It's alive. So what these people did, when the word came in, they said, speak to me, word. Minister to me, word. Encourage me, word. Give me direction, word. Not, do I agree with the word? They said, God, you do it. You're God. God's word is never wrong. It's never wrong. And guess what? God's word is never going to change, and it ain't never going to go away. So where does that leave you and me? Submitting to it. That's it. So what these people said, they were fair-minded, and you know what? They received the word and allowed God's word to be God's word, the final authority. When you read the word, you have to say, God, I am ready to accept whatever you have to say, and I'm going to receive it, and I'm going to be prepared for whatever you tell me to do through it. Whatever you reveal through it, I'm going to accept. But if you have the attitude that you want to resist part of God's word and not listen to some of it and question some of it, let me tell you something. You'll be like a whole bunch of Christians who think they know more than they do. You don't know anything. You don't know anything. We're talking about God. You could be a Bible professor. Let me tell you something. God always has something else to reveal. He always does. He always does. And the thing about it is that not only do you have to believe that, but you should say, Lord, I want to keep learning. Keep giving me insight. There's so much to have insight about yourself, people, ministry, leadership, prayer. I mean, it is endless. God is endless. And so these people said, listen, we want to hear it, and we are so ready for it because we realize we have not arrived. There is so much for us to learn. And so receive the word with humility and let it interact with your soul. Let it save your soul. Let it set you free. And then look what it says after that. It says, not only did they were fair-minded, they received it. They let it interact with them. And they, you know what they did? They prepared their heart as a comfortable place for the word to grow. When you put the seed in the ground, that grows 30, 60, 100-fold. When the seed goes in the ground forms an environment in which that seed can grow. Water, you know, little worms. You know there's worms in the ground, and one of the purposes, is I gave you three reasons, three purposes of worms, four actually. One, when the worms go down in the ground, they till up the ground. They keep it soft. They provide air channels for air to go down and water. And the fourth reason, you could go fishing with them. Four reasons for worms. But when the worm goes down, it burrows in the ground, and it's loosening up the dirt and making air channels for the dirt, for the roots, and water to go down. Guess what? When the seed goes in the ground, the environment around which that seed is living is prepared to foster growth of that seed. You need to say, God, I want my heart to be ready for you. I'm ready for you. When you put it in, I am not going to fight it. I'm not going to resist it. I'm not going to ignore it. I am going to listen. When I went on a 40-day fast 5 years ago, I was on day 35, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 40. I was in Indiana. And I was in this little hotel room. And I was speaking in schools all week. And I had my juicer. I had my fruits and my potatoes, and every day I would be grinding them up in my room and drinking them, and every day probably thought I was like a freak in there. And I was all skinny. I was like 157. I was walking around all bony like this. I was ashy. I was just nasty looking. But it was, I was so close to God that I couldn't even read my Bible. I would open my Bible, and because my heart was so ready, because I had been humbled, grinded down to nothing, I would open my Bible and I would read the word, and the presence of God was so thick that I couldn't read. I would just have to pray. It was amazing. And so my heart was prepared through the fasting. Your heart can be prepared through fasting, through study, through trials, through, you know, a need to have more joy or peace in your life. Whatever it is, God can use everything to prepare your heart. But these people were prepared. They were ready. And then the Bible says right after that, look what it says. It says they searched the scriptures daily. Everybody say search the scriptures. Say daily. Say daily. Guess what? The daily walk. Every day. They search the scriptures every day. And you know what they did? They wanted to see if the Bible was true. I was watching the Guinness Book of World Records. You know that little show they have on TV? It's a show, and they have people try to break world records in the Guinness Book, and they do it right there on TV. Yesterday, this guy was, he had nothing but a pair of shorts on, and he was laying in a plexiglass tub, like a bathtub, and the record he was trying to break was to be the guy who had laid in a tub with the most cockroaches than anybody in the world. So, did you see that? He's laying in there, and they're taking these big tubs like this, pouring thousands and thousands of roaches on him. 20,500. This, now I'm not talking about these little California little deals with the little antennas. These are big bad boy, like puppy sight, bigger than my dog size roaches. And you can hear them. I mean, 20,000. He's laying in there, and they're pouring them on his head. They're all on his face. And it is, I'm sorry, it was nasty. And you can hear the roaches going, and they're crawling on each other, and they're like this thick from the ground up, just full of roaches. And he's in there going, and I'm thinking, why? That's the only thing I'm thinking, why? I was in New York City when I was dating my wife. We went out to a club, and I was not saved. Just so y'all don't say, Miles went to a club, I can go to a club. And we were walking down the street, 1 o'clock in the morning. We're walking down the street, and I hear, turn around, there's nobody there. So we start walking down the street. Got my woman. And I hear, turn around, no one's there. So I start walking. Turn around, and there's 3 roaches on the sidewalk. No lie, they were this big. They're walking behind me like this. I'm like, what's up? Yo, you got a quarter, man? No, I don't have a quarter. I am not lying. I was going to step on him, but I said, nah, y'all kind of, this is your block, huh? This is our block, man. Just keep going. All right, I'm going home. Just don't bother me. Why would this guy sit in his tub? I have no clue. But why would you read the Bible every day? Here it is right here. That's why I told that story. I don't get it. Neither do I. But it was all right. It's okay. Just imagine that it made sense. It says they search the scriptures daily. Why? Roaches? Why? I got it. I see the connection. To find out whether these things are so. If you read the Bible and learn the truth, the Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Free from what? The bondage of sin, the lies of the devil, the enslavement of your own sinfulness. We're all enslaved to our pride, our lust, our addictions, our vain imaginations, our warped perception of life. God wants to set us free. He wants to set us free. That's why you got to read the Bible. Here's your homework assignment. Please write this down. This is going to be a nifty little homework assignment for you. Very simple homework assignment. Every day this week, 7 days, just try for 1 week. I want you to read. If you don't already have a system of reading in the Bible, do this way. But if you like reading through the Bible, it'll work for that too. Start in the book of John and read one chapter a day. But unless you have some other reading pattern, it doesn't matter what your reading pattern is. All I want you to do is every day write one question down of something you don't know from what you read and look it up. Just one question. You can't call a pastor and ask him. That doesn't count. You have to look it up. One thing a day. 7 things. Get a little notebook, little 99-cent notebook, and say, Bible fact on December 4th, who is John? If you're reading the book of John, who is John? Write down, okay, I'm going to look up who he is. And you know the best place to try to find this information? It's right in here. The best thing to do is to use the Bible to explain the Bible. Don't use what pastor said or what you heard on the radio or what commentary's fine, but what this commentary author's opinion is. What does the Bible say about what that says? Okay? So here's your homework. Look it up. One thing a day, every day. Search the scriptures daily. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, but rightly divides the word of truth, understands the Bible. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet. It helps me see where I need to go. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Romans 10:17. The more word of God I get, the more faith I get. So if I have all this faith, increasing faith, I have increasing enlightenment to where I go. Does my life change? Oh, most definitely. Does it change for the best? Most definitely. Change you better than money can change you. Change you better than a good job can change you. Change you better than a good man or a good woman can change you. It's the best change. So they search the scriptures every day. And lastly, verse 12, many of them believed. You can learn all the Bible you want. And you could even say you believe it. The only way you're going to know you believe it is to do it. The only way you know that you really believe what the Bible says is if you do it. If you have it in your head and you haven't memorized it and even learned it, doesn't mean you believe it. You have to do it. I told you the story before about my son, who is my wife's little, you know, her little baby, and she kisses him and hugs him, and, you know, she looks after him, and, you know, and it makes me sick, because I'm always trying to make him tough, because I don't want him to be a punk, you know, so she's not looking, I'm like, boom, 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 boom. And we caught him in a lie, and he tells, oh, I love you, mommy, I love you, get off my woman, okay? So, you know, jealousy that, right? You know what I'm saying? So I told him, look, if you're going to tell your mother you love her, you can't lie to her. So here's your punishment for a week. You can't tell her you love her. You can't kiss her. Well, those girls, man. Those girls. Back off, girls. Back off. Here's the logic. If you tell somebody you love them, you don't lie to them. If you tell God you love him, which I'm sure all of you would say you love God, but the only way you can know you love God is if you obey him. Because the Bible says to love God is to obey him. It's very simple. 1 John 5:3. Loving God is just, no, okay, I'm a Christian. I kind of go to church and I kind of do Christian things. That's not loving God. That's playing a game. Loving God is saying, God, I am so focused on doing what you want me to do. I want to please you. That's loving God. Now, you may say, well, God knows my heart. Yeah, God knows your heart. He knows your heart is like this. You can't just say God knows my heart and do what you want and think you're okay. It doesn't work that way. Nowhere in this book can you find to justify that. It ain't in it. Now, that's American Christianity. It ain't Bible Christianity. And so when you say you believe God, you got to say, I'm doing it. So we gave him a week to think about it. You got 1 week. And at the end of this week, we want to know, are you going to love mommy or are you going to tell the truth? So during the week, he tried to play, you know, he tried to do one of these on me. Oh, I'm sorry, mom, I can't kiss you. Oh. Go to your room, boy. Stop playing. I ain't no sucker. I didn't do that to him. But you know what? He thought about it. And he hasn't told a lie since. I'm not saying he's perfect, because he's not. But you know what? He learned there is a difference between loving somebody and lying to them. Same thing with God. You either love him and obey him, or you don't. You can't be both. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. That's it. He who does the will of my Father. You wanna be good with God? Do what God says. This is not a democracy. He is God. He's the boss. We are all his children, if you have accepted him as your Savior, and we need to obey him. The devil's the one that has led people to believe they can decide good and evil on their own. That was the sin of Eve. In other words, I can decide on my own what to do. That is what sin is. That was what he tricked Eve into. You don't got to listen to God. Just do your own thing. That's right, honey. I'm going to do my own thing. Boom. She was kicked out of the garden. So be open-minded to the word. Say, Lord, I want to hear what you have to say. I want to receive it with readiness. I want to let it do whatever it's going to do in my life. I want to search the Bible every day. Read the Bible every day. And I want to see if this stuff is true. You know, every Saturday, every week we have home small groups. And in the small groups, they go over discussion based on the sermon. And so I send in the questions on Saturday, yesterday, and they put up on the internet by Monday. Wherever you're at, you can go on the internet every week and get the discussion questions from the sermon, and that's what they do in the small groups. Just go on the webpage, theroxandiego.org, and look up small groups. And you know what? Every day you could just, and that's a weekly thing, but then the Rock University is going to be a whole nother deal. Just learn. Learn. My million-dollar question to you is, and think about this, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you want to learn the Bible? Why wouldn't you be hungry for learning the Bible and growing in the Word of God? Why not? The devil lied to you. That's it. Because you have nothing else. There's no other place you can get better information. It just doesn't exist. Jesus is the only one that has words of life. This doesn't exist. So listen. Receive. Research and respond to the Word of God. Amen. We're going to take communion. I'm going to ask all y'all to bow your heads, and we're going to have the ushers come forward. Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness and your word and your goodness to us. We thank you so much for your patience with us. And I pray that we would hunger and thirst for righteousness. Lord, I pray people this week would just read one little thing and look it up and be incredibly blessed. Blow their mind how easy it is to learn the Bible. Blow their mind. Show them, Lord, that there's so much in there to get, so much to learn, so much to change. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we thank you that you are so good to us, and we'll never really understand that until we see you in heaven and see how badly you were beaten. And we'll never understand until we really see you face to face so we can understand who you really are. And Lord, I just pray for people here who, all of us, we need to see you more clearly, but I pray for the people who struggle with really letting you show yourself to them, letting you love them. They're mad at you. They're bitter at you. They resent you. They know that they need you, but they're mad. Lord, I pray that you would love them out of that anger, that they would let you love them out of that anger. I pray they would stop blaming you for things that you didn't do. Lord, I pray they would give you a fair opportunity to be God in their life. And as we're praying, if you realize you need Jesus as your Savior, just pray with me right now. Pray, dear God,
I need you as my Savior. Please forgive me of my sin. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to be born again. I want to be your child. I want you to be my God. I acknowledge that you died and rose from the dead for my sin. Thank you. Lord, you say in Mark 22 that they were eating and you took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. Lord, we acknowledge that this cracker in our hand, symbolic of your body. We thank you for allowing sinful man to crucify you. And we take this in remembrance of that. In Jesus' name, amen. Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. The Bible says, without bloodshed, there is no forgiveness of sin. Lord, we thank you that you shed your blood for our sinless blood. You say, the Bible says that the life is in the blood. We thank you that you gave your sinless life for our life. In Jesus' name, amen. As you go into, you know, we go into the holidays next week, we're going to start just a 2-week deal on prayer. A couple things I want to challenge you on to be praying about. What you're going to do next year, what kind of Christian you're going to be, read through the Bible. But also, I want to challenge you to start praying about going on a fast. And it may be a week, 2 days, but sometime before the end of the year. And I will talk about this again. And when I went on my 40-day fast, I started the day after Christmas and went till February 4th. And I don't know that I'm going to do that again. I don't know that I'm going to challenge you to do that. But I want you to start thinking about it, because it's something that one day you just may say, I want to do it. But it's something you need to start praying about and thinking about. And it may be 4 days, it may be 1 day, it may be 5 days, it may be 10, 20, whatever it is. But to really make a decision that you want to be more serious about God next year than last year, than this year that we just went ahead. Because, you know, you see the election and a whole mess of that. There's a fierce spiritual battle going on in that. In the end, God's going to have his way. Politics and that whole world is so evil, you have no idea. It's so ridiculously evil. The only thing you have is God. No president is going to solve our problems. It's only God. And so my challenge is for all of you to, you know, for all of you who, wherever you're at in your walk, some of you are serious with God, some of you are playing games with God, is that you say, you know what, next year I want to be more serious than where I'm at this year. I have to say the same thing. And I am saying the same thing. Next year I want to, and I'm making changes now in my life so I can have more efficient, effective next year. So if y'all could just hold on, popping the cups till I'm, I know it sounds cool, but you know. Matter of fact, we'll all pop them together in a minute. That'll sound real nice, okay? We'll do that. But just be praying about that and be praying. Okay, let's just do it right now. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Okay, there we go. Okay. Thank you. Now we're going to pop them twice. God bless you. Have a good night. You know, I guess I'm done talking.